Thank you. Please be seated. And Debbie will come and read our gospel reading. Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 young women took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out and meet him." Then all those young women got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other young women came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." Thanks be to God.
So I read this week that there's two kinds of parables, for the most part, in the New Testament. I never read this particular way of thinking about it before. It says some of the parables of Jesus, which are the ones we tend to like, are the ones that have this wonderful surprise, something gracious and unexpected that happens at the end. And we go, oh. Like the prodigal son when the father runs to greet him, or all those kind of parables that make us happy. But there's another category of parables. And those are the ones that are about cause and effect. You do this or you don't do this, and this is what's going to happen. I think this is one of those kind of parables, and we tend to not like them very much. We also don't like this parable because why don't they share? Right? Like, you're supposed to be a good Christian. You're supposed to share. Are these so-called wise maidens selfish? What's going on? Beyond that, I realized at Bible study Tuesday night that there's a lot of cultural context around this parable that most of us do not know. I think growing up in Bangladesh, as I did, gave me a little insight that I realize most Americans don't have. So let me give you a little cultural context. Some of the rest of you who've lived in other parts of the world, more traditional, more, might have a little more of this sense. So in this context, you have weddings that are multi-day events. They generally were arranged between two families as much as between a bride and groom. And the original part of the wedding starts at the bride's home village. And there's a ceremony and a party. And then the groom and his party bring the bride back to his home and village. And that's another whole event, another whole party, before the marriage is finally consummated. So it's a multi-day event in two locations. And again, in good non-Western style, time is when it's time. It's not clock time, of course. So how long the party lasts at the bride's house is how long the party lasts. And when they're done and finally ready to leave, and she said her goodbyes, then they come back. And there's no way for the groom's folks to know when that's going to happen. They just have to wait. There's no cell phones. Today there would be, but back then there certainly was no way to send a message. You just waited till they showed up. And these young women, although many translations label them as bridesmaids, which I think we find confusing, they're not like our bridesmaids that are with the bride. They are the young women of the groom's village, waiting to greet the bride and bring her into their circle. That's their job, to greet the party when it comes, to greet the bride, welcome her in, and then become her new friends to help her become a part of the new village, the new home. So, there were 10 young women waiting for this groom's party to bring back the new bride, and they were delayed because who knows when they're going to come. You're just supposed to wait till they come. And it says, five of them thought ahead. And again, the lamps, let's picture these lamps. These are little clay lamps with some oil and a wick floating in it. And you just got to have the oil for the wick to burn, right? Lasts longer than a candle and also a little safer to carry, but certainly a little tricky. You got to have oil or there is no lamp burning. So they're there with their lamps waiting for the come, and they don't come, and they don't come, and they get sleepy. And actually, in this parable, the sleepy's okay. Nobody condemning them for falling asleep. The problem is when they finally hear the shout, they're coming, and they wake up and they're trying to get ready, the five that are labeled foolish realize, uh-oh, we have just this tiny little bit of oil. Our lamps are getting ready to go out. What are we going to do? And they turn to the others who've brought extra and say, give us some. And the ones with extra say no. Now, what is that about? What is that about? Well, I think the most helpful thing I ever read, and I tried to find the commentator, and I couldn't find it. I read it 2 or 3 years ago, is that the oil is our faith, and you can't at the last minute suddenly take some of your faith and hand it to somebody else. You've either got it or you don't. You've either cultivated the relationship or you haven't. Faith is not something I can just hand to you, even if I want. So Jesus would have told this parable, we can think, in the context of his preaching that the Messiah is come, the kingdom is near. The time of God's fulfillment and action is happening now among you. But by the time the Gospel of Matthew was written, later in the first century, the early church was dealing with a different problem. It wasn't the Messiah coming that they were waiting for, as Israel had been for so long. It was Jesus coming back that they were anticipating, and it hadn't happened. The early church thought Jesus was going to come back really fast in their lifetimes. Those of them had known Jesus thought they were going to see him again in their lifetimes. And so the early church, you can see it throughout the New Testament, they were struggling with this delay. Where is he? What does this mean? And how do we live in the meantime? While we're waiting and watching and being persecuted and going through oppression and struggling to be a community of believers and figure out how to live in a much more long-term way without the presence of Jesus Christ here in our midst. What kind of faith, what kind of hope, what kind of perseverance do we need to have in order to keep on believing and trusting? Then Jerusalem was destroyed by Rome in 70 AD in response to a revolutionary uprising, might we say, an intifada. The temple was demolished. Israel as a national reality was totally eliminated. Palestine in the late first century became a place of political upheaval, violent oppression, war, and destruction. And terrible displacement of many, many of its people. Does that sound familiar? The Jewish diaspora, as we frame it, the scattering of Jewish people across the Middle East and into Europe, came from that late first century destruction. So Matthew's gospel is speaking to the realities of those times, and the writer is urging them, keep on trusting, keep on believing, keep on hoping, keep that oil in your lamp still burning, even in the midst of dark and frightening times. Even as the coming of Christ that you long for and expect is not happening in the way you thought it was going to happen. The maidens who are labeled foolish had not planned for the long term. They were excited, and they assumed that what they wanted and thought was right was going to happen fast. The wise ones knew they needed to be prepared, and they understood that they might have to wait and watch, keep on trusting for a long time. And they brought what they needed to keep on hoping. When the night grew long and cold and they were tired and sleepy, and still what they longed for did not happen. Now, I know 2,000 years later, it can be pretty hard for us to know what to believe about the second coming of Jesus Christ. We certainly don't quite picture it, probably most of us, in the way those New Testament believers pictured it happening. But I think that may actually mean that we, even more than they, need help to find faith and hope in the middle of difficult times. What does it mean to keep our lamps burning? What gives us oil to keep us going? What helps us deepen our faith? What helps us spot those little God winks of God's action in the world? What encourages us? What practices strengthen us? There are a lot of ways we as individuals, we talked about this in Bible study, the different things we do as individuals that are oil for our faith, for our lives. But I think we also are here together because being part of a community, being in relationship with other people of faith, is part of what keeps our light burning. My favorite seminary professor, talked about a time of deep crisis in his own life. And he said, sometimes we need our faith community to do our believing for us. Know what he's talking about? Yeah. We need other people to do our believing for us, to hold us, to carry us, to believe with us and for us when we're not sure we believe at all. We need each other to keep the oil in our lamps burning in hard times. Your light helps my light keep burning. Andrea Staffel's hug this morning was oil in my lamp. All our lights together help bring hope and brightness to the community around us. Steve Garnas Holmes blogs at Unfolding Light. He's a pastor responding to the lectionary every week several times. A number of you signed up for it now. This was his reflection this week. You who wait for the bridegroom of peace, who wait for the feast of justice late into the night, bring extra oil for your lamps. The wait will be long. Don't be tempted by the promise of soon. Don't be tricked by your impatience. Light will fade. Evening's vine will grow up around you and the sheet of night pulled up over you, and the wait will go on. Bring oil and go on. Keep your lamp trimmed. Your little lamp of hope, your little flame of trust and goodwill. The night will be long. Rumors will precede the bridegroom, yet the bridegroom will not come, and you will tire. But do not fall to either sleep or despair. Love is changing the world, but you will not see it for a long time. Let your oil be plentiful enough to last and to share. No matter how long it takes, keep the flame. Illumine the little circle where you are. Light the way. May our light keep shining. Our hope keep burning. God has not abandoned us or anyone else in this world. Amen.